I'd like to welcome everybody to Sunday School this morning. I say it's good to be here. I had a little thought about how, you know, the world, there's a lot goes on in the world, especially with sickness and with everything going on. But I'm thankful that we have a place we can go to where we can get peace. I'm thankful that when I was a 7-year-old boy, I got that peace, and I'll never lose that peace. I'm just really thankful to be here. I'm thankful that no matter what happens, one day I'm going home. And I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be saved. We'll ask Kyle to dismiss the Sunday School.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. Appreciate everybody for coming out. We are going to be, our lesson today is about praying or prayer. We're going to be in Matthew, the 6th chapter. And this lesson talks about what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Two places in the New Testament where this is recorded, here in Matthew and then also over in Luke. So give these folks a chance to get in their class there. So we desire your prayers this morning. When you think about prayer, what do you think about? What comes to mind when I say the word pray or prayer? Tell me what comes to your mind. I'm curious. Nothing? Communication with God. Yeah. It's a conversation with God. So Becky and I have been married a little over 33 years. And we talk on a daily basis. If I didn't talk to Becky for a week and then came home one day, if I just had said nothing to her, ignored her essentially, been in the house, going about everything, but if I didn't say anything to her, good morning, good night, I love you, how you doing, didn't say anything to her for a week, and then said, hey, will you make me that, you know, meal that I like? How do you think that would go over? Becky and Bill were both saying she would make it. Cindy's back here saying that wouldn't go over good. I'm with Cindy.
Well, I think
she might make it. She said she might make it. It might have poison in it, but she might make it. So is communicating with God, is it different than communicating with a spouse from that standpoint? I mean, there are some differences to it, but what I'm trying to get at is prayer is an opportunity for us to communicate with God on several different levels, and I want to talk a little bit about those as we get into this lesson. But if we go for a long time and don't communicate with God, it's going to be harder to communicate with God if it is an emergency and we need something from God. All right. We've all heard this. We should not use God like an emergency pack in our car, like a spare tire or one of those lights. You understand? I mean, shouldn't be like AAA. We only call them when we've got a flat tire. Communicating with God should be something we do on a regular basis. So let me ask you this. If I ask this question, I hope you'll understand what I'm meaning. Are there different types of prayers? I mean, do we pray for different things? And if so, what do we pray for? Someone in need. So, yeah, I mean, if we know a friend who is sick or has a financial problem or a marital problem, we can say, God, please help our friend. They need help. So that's certainly one. What else? Our children. Praying for the lost, certainly, for salvation. Yeah. I thought about that, and that was one of the things I was going to mention, that song, so I'm glad you mentioned it. We can pray sometimes and just thank God. And that song's been around since, that's a long time. That song's been around since I was a boy. I remember a group that came to Defiance when Dad was still pastoring up there and sang that song. And I thought, that's a little bit of a, even as a small boy, I recognize that's different. But didn't come to ask you for something. I don't know what may happen tomorrow. But today, I just want to say thank you. That's important to do. We need to be thankful. There's another song, Count Your Blessings. And, of course, we've heard preachers preach about that. But if we really set out to try to count our blessings and to thank God for our blessings, you can't do it. I mean, I've never been able to do it. You know, he told Abraham that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. Of course, we know that's two different things, but I think our blessings are that way. I mean, when I get started trying to thank God for my blessings, can't do it. If you're ever having a really bad day, I mean, it's just one of them days where you just feel like nothing's going right. And I've had some of those, and we all do, I suppose, where you're just really down. Even a doctor might even say, well, you're depressed. Well, might be. Sit down and take a pencil and a piece of paper, or take your phone or however you want to do it, and start trying to write out your blessings. I've done that a couple of times. Boy, you talk about things turning around. Now, that doesn't mean whatever my problem was that day is gone. It may still be there, but it'll sure change your mental perspective when you start trying to count your blessings and thanking God for them. So we've got natural needs, I guess it'd be one way of saying that. If we know somebody that's physically sick or has a financial issue or a marital or whatever it is. We've got spiritual needs. Somebody said praying for the lost, or if there's somebody that's out of fellowship or that's just not, you know, where they should be, or maybe they are, but they're just struggling. But that spiritual need, I think that's one. Thanking God for what he has blessed us with. I mean, so those are some different types of prayers that we can offer. And there's probably more, but those were kind of the ones that I was thinking of. Does anybody have something else that you wanted to add in there? All right. Before we get to Matthew, I want to go to James. I want to be in James, if this lesson goes as I think, a few times. But I want to go to James chapter 5. You know, we'll hear young Christians sometimes right after they first get saved, or sometimes it's people that have been saved for a while, but they just decide that they're going to start reading the Bible. And where is a good place to start? Well, certainly the Gospels are a good place to start. I mean, the book of John, you can't argue about reading the book of John. It tells about the life of Christ, and it's, to me, is a easy book to read, and I like the book of John. But the book of James should be very close, to me, to the top of that list. There is so much good instruction in James. And it's, you know, it's five chapters. It's not a real long book, but there's so much good instruction. But James chapter 5, let's go down here. Let me see if I can find where I'm trying to. We're going to start the middle of verse 16. So verse 16 is two sentences. And this is something that we hear quoted a lot. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a lot of big words. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to tell you that righteous, while there is something that we need to do to present ourselves before God, that righteousness is not our righteousness. We know that only righteousness that we've really got is the righteousness that God imputed to us. So I think this is talking about a saved person. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's righteousness that's been imputed. So the effectual, fervent meaning serious, we're really, it's not just something that we say off of the top of our head. I mean, it's something that we really are desiring and wanting. But I want to now back up, and then we'll move over to Matthew because there's some correlation here, but I want to back up and read all of verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then it continues, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, why is that important? For our prayer to have some impact or really to be able to do something, there are some things that we have to do before we take that petition to God. We need to be saved. That's number one. But if our life is a mess, we're living badly, or we've got things between us and God, this verse right here is telling us that we need to get that fixed if we want our prayer to have an impact with God. Let's read this again. Confess your faults one to another. Well, if I've got a bunch of things, a bunch of, you know, skeletons in my spiritual closet, so to speak, and I haven't done anything to take care of that, but I decide that I want to pray for my friend over here that needs some help, it doesn't mean that God won't hear my prayer at all or that it's completely muted, but it's not going to have the impact that it would if I were in the place that I'm supposed to be. All right. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And so, and I think that this healing, certainly this could be talking about spiritually, but if you back up in this, if you read verse 15, it's talking about the prayer of faith, having faith that God can heal one of our friends or you know, one of our acquaintances or our family. I think this is talking about naturally here as well as spiritually. You can make both, but certainly there is a natural component to this. And so it's important, and I will get over here, try to anyway, into Matthew and go through some of that. But it's important that we're praying on a regular basis. Okay, back to my example with Becky, that where I started there. If I go a week or a month or 3 months and then I need God, God's there and he's available to me, but he's going to feel a lot farther away than if I've been praying pretty regularly right along, thanking him and asking him for things and exercising that faith. Faith is like a muscle. And as I get older, I can tell you that if you don't use muscles very often and then you use them, ask Neil. He went and loaded a bunch of wood out into his wood bin here a few weeks ago, and he was walking around holding his back like this. I'm laughing at him because I'm the same way. If you know, Becky says, "Well, will you get that or move that or whatever?" At Christmas time, I got to carry all these Christmas things up the steps. Well, I'm sore for 2 or 3 days. She's looking like I didn't help her. And then it's time to put them away, and I got to carry them all back down. And she's looking like I didn't help her again. But no, I mean, we'll get sore. But our faith is the same way. It's a muscle. If we don't utilize it, it'll kind of get atrophied. If you understand what that means, that muscle will kind of shrink up. It's just not as useful. So we need to be using that on a regular basis if we want it to be strong. And unlike our natural muscles, as we get older, there's nothing that says that our faith muscle has to get weaker. It can get stronger right along if we use it correctly. Okay. Any comments on that before we move on over to Matthew here? Now, it doesn't say it here in Matthew 6, but over in Luke, it says one of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. In Matthew, it doesn't say that, but I believe that happened. I believe this is talking about the same exchange that happened. It's interesting to me, that being the case, where he starts. Okay, verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." The first thing he says about praying is, don't do it like this. It's just a little unusual that somebody says, teach us how to pray, and he says, okay, don't do it like this. Why did he do that? Why did he start there? It must be really important, the point that he's trying to make. Don't pray like a hypocrite. And we all know the word hypocrite. We've heard it. We've probably had, I mean, I have. I've had somebody say, well, you're a hypocrite. If you try to be a Christian and people know it, whether you make a mistake or don't, as soon as they disagree with you, a lot of people will say, well, you hypocrite. I thought you was a Christian. Well, you know, a Christian wouldn't act like that. Christians are about love. I mean, if you haven't heard that, come walk around with me for a day or two. You'll hear somebody say something like that. This term hypocrite means the same thing, but it also has an additional meaning that I got out of the commentary. This word hypocrite at this time was used to describe an actor on a stage. Somebody portraying or acting like they're a character or acting like they're something that they're not. That's how, and it makes such a great point to me, that's how empty the word hypocrite really is. Somebody acting like somebody that they are not at all. I mean, think of whoever on TV or a movie or, you know, on stage, somebody that you like to watch act. I think Tom Hanks is, whether you like his politics or not, that's a different thing. But I think Tom Hanks is a great actor. I really enjoy it. He can portray different characters and does it so well. But I wouldn't go up to Tom Hanks and go, hey, Forrest Gump, and expect him to be Forrest Gump. I mean, that was a character that he portrayed in a movie. It's not Tom Hanks. Well, that's what Christ is saying here, is saying, don't pray just from the standpoint of trying to portray this persona or this public opinion that you want people to have. That's not prayer. I mean, we can smite ourselves and hold our hands up and act like we're really something in a crowd. And if you feel like doing that, we'll do that. But if you're just doing it so everybody around you will look and go, well, hey, look at Blaine. Man, he's holding his hands up and he's really acting like he's something. If that's all, that's where my heart is. So let's get right to it. Where's your heart? If that's where your heart is, I'm trying to make everybody know that I'm really special and then you've missed the point. That's not prayer. "Be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue." So they're not knelt down, they're not in a chair, they're not in a corner, they're right up as I visualize this, in the middle, standing, so everybody in there will see him. That's the reason they're there. Why are you praying? Do you really want to communicate? Are you trying to communicate with God and have this exchange with him? I have several times, and I've told this, so this is no surprise. I think everybody's this way, but I know I am. I have tried to pray before, and what I said maybe got that high. It might have got just above the top of my head. It sure never connected with heaven. I mean, God heard what I was saying, but there was no connection. And I've tried that for a little while and thought, well, maybe I'll try again later. And I've quit and went on. Which I don't necessarily think is the right thing to do, by the way. I mean, I think if we stay there and stay engaged, that God will hear us. And I like that approach better, staying there and staying engaged. But I've done that. It's got about that high, and I thought, well, I tried. I'll try it again later. So every time I kneel down and say some words and say God's name and ask him for something isn't prayer. It's an attempted prayer. You know, in our criminal justice system, we've got crimes, and then we've got a little bit lesser type of crime that they say attempted. If you actually murder somebody, then that's a really bad crime. But you could have an attempted murder where you didn't actually succeed. It's still a crime, but it's not as bad as if you had actually killed that person. Well, I've had several times, probably more than I've actually connected and really prayed, where I've had attempted prayer. And, you know, maybe God looks at that and goes, well, he at least tried a little. But, I mean, it didn't get connected. But sometimes we're going to have that. There have been times where I really felt like I was right in the exact, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I felt like I was in a pretty good spot. Felt like it was the right time to pray and something right to pray about, and just couldn't get connected. I've got up a few times from that and thought, well, it's not automatic. We've heard our preachers preach. Every time they get up here, it doesn't mean that they're going to get in the kingdom and fly away and preach and some, you know, somebody's going to get saved. I think it was Siegel that it was attributed to. Dad will correct me if I'm wrong. That said if he knew it was going to be like that every time he got up, they'd have to fight him to keep him out of the stand. But it wasn't always that way. Well, praying's not always that way. It's not automatic. All right. Let me pick this up. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. That's the reason. Where's your heart? Are you praying to connect with God? Are you praying to be seen or some other purpose? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now he uses this a few times. But, you know, our reward when we actually connect with God and actually pray and feel him is, it's comfort. We also know that he's heard our petition. We don't know what he's going to do with it. And we'll get to that. But it's comfort knowing that he has heard that and we've had communion with him. We've communicated back and forth. If you're just standing out so people will see you, it's a different reward. It's not connection with God. Verse 6. Well, let me stop here. Does anybody have any comments on verse 5? Verse 6, but thou, so here he starts, so he's told him, don't be like the hypocrite, but do it this way. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Go somewhere in private. So is he saying here that we should never pray out in public? He told him to go in a closet. What do you think? Bill said the closet of our heart. I can't disagree with that. I have to agree with that. And it is okay to go someplace privately and pray in a room if it's just you and God. Or, you know, a lot of prayers, just you know, and probably other people the same way, but a lot of prayers that I pray are in my car driving from spot A to spot B, and it's just me and God. And maybe I got, you know, some music on the radio, but nobody else knows about it. Is there anything wrong with, if you feel like it, if you're out to eat and you feel like saying grace over your food, anything wrong with doing that at a restaurant? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That he's not telling them here, only pray in private. He's, again, talking about your heart, and he's saying you shouldn't be doing it for the purpose of making a scene or being seen. It should be for the purpose of communicating with God, your Father. Let me start this again. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Well, there's other scriptures that talk about don't be ashamed of God. Don't be, you know, we certainly don't ever want to be in a spot where God puts something on our heart to do, and we're like, well, I'm kind of embarrassed. There's some people here. I wouldn't want anybody to see me, so I don't want to do that. But the purpose needs to be based upon our heart. And so I hope you're understanding that. You know, our church covenant tells us, I think it's the third paragraph, we engage to maintain family and secret devotions. Prayer, all right? And certainly we pray here at church, and I don't ask grace over every meal that I eat out at a restaurant, but I do sometimes, and some folks that we'll eat out with occasionally want to do that, and I'm fine with that. That's fine with me. It doesn't bother me. You shouldn't be embarrassed to do that. If you feel like doing it, do it. And if you're with somebody that does it, do it. You certainly shouldn't be embarrassed. It may impact somebody that's sitting around you if you do that. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. So, I mean, I think in this day, and I mean, you don't have to look very far, you can still kind of see that, but I mean, where people are supposedly praying and just basically repeating the same phrase over and over and over. You put music to it, it can turn into, you know, a dance or, you know, some sort of song. And, you know, and there are instances where I see that and I look at that and I can't get connected with it. And I think, I'm not sure where they're at. There are different spirits. And, you know, the Bible tells us to try the spirits, and certainly we should. So everything that, you know, moves or makes you want to tap your foot isn't always the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying that the Spirit of God can't make you want to tap your foot. I've had that, you know, we've had good singing here, and I wanted to tap my foot or, you know, Spirit, there's different spirits. You just have to be careful. And I think that's what he's saying here. Just saying the same thing over and over and over, or saying it for 5 hours, or getting up on a pile of wood and cutting your arms like the prophets of Baal, okay, when they're there with Elijah on Mount Carmel, I think they were saying, it sounded like they were saying the same things over and over. They started cutting themselves. They were dancing on the wood. You know, Elijah mocked them and said, well, talk a little louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's talking to somebody else. Maybe he's asleep. He might have went on a trip, and so you need to talk a little loud. Elijah was making fun of him. It's not how loud we speak. Some of the most powerful, best prayers, from my perspective, that I've ever spoken, I never moved these lips, never said a word externally. It was all from right here. God knows our heart. You know, some weeks ago we taught about God being all-knowing and all-seeing and all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows our heart. And so that's really where we need to start from with a prayer. Where are we going to start from? If it starts right here and is done correctly, then it can be powerful. Let me read this again. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So yeah, they're thinking if they just say it over and over and over and say it louder, and you know, that'll get their God's attention. You've got God's attention. How do you approach God? That's the important thing here. Verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Pretty important and deep thought here. If God knows what we need before we ask him, is it important for us to ask him? Why? Why is it important? If he already knows, and he's God, and he's all powerful.
No, Mom and Dad know the things that I needed. It seemed like it pleased them if I would ask them of it, you know. It blessed them to be able to give it to me, you know, and it blessed me because of it.
That's a great point. It's a blessing if we ask our family or our parents, and then they're able to do it. That's a super point. I think it's important because, again, it helps us exercise that faith. And when we pray specifically, okay, you know, I think it's one thing to say, God, help us have a good service. Well, that's a good prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we know that, you know, somebody's going to be sitting back there that's been coming, that's lost, or they're likely to be here today, and we can pray, Lord, help that brother or that sister get saved today. The more specifically we pray, I think the better that it is. And it helps us create that stronger relationship with God by us asking specifically and then him giving those things to us. And so I do think it is a matter of exercising faith. Good. God wants a very close relationship with us. He wants us to open our heart to he sees our heart, but we've got the control of whether we open that to him and really talk to him about those innermost thoughts and feelings or not. We don't have time for that.
Request, you know, we pray for God to convict the people. And when we see those people come, it's a double blessing, I guess you'd say, that God answered your prayer. You know, he heard you. Plus, he had mercy on them, you know.
God.
Should be the desire of our hearts.
And
I thought when you was talking about back a little bit before now about Oakley Webb, before he got saved, I don't know how long I prayed for him. I had a real burden for him. And the thought I had, God had a greater burden than I did. He wanted him to get saved worse than I did. But when I prayed for him for a long time, and when he got saved, it was a real blessing. And that's been several years ago, and Oakley's already going on to heaven. But that's been a long time ago, and every time I think about him getting saved, I get another blessing.
Amen.
So for my prayers that I prayed for Oakley, I'm still reaping the benefits. God's a good paymaster if we humble our heart and do things right like you're teaching.
Yeah.
And I love that story, and I've heard you teach that for years, and I don't guess I'll ever forget it. But it's amazing to me that when the church has a burden for somebody that's lost, and recently Peyton, she'd been forward several times, and I guess everybody that comes to church here had a burden for her, wanting to see her get saved. And she got saved, and the church rejoiced. Now, the church is also happy, and I'll never forget it. I didn't even know my youngest daughter, Olivia, was lost. I didn't even know God was dealing with her. We were focused on my daughter, Mackenzie, who had been forward quite a few times and prayed. And we look over, and there's Olivia, and she gets up and says, I got saved. It was a great blessing. You know, but sometimes somebody will come, and the church, you know, just in general maybe has a burden for them. But when that one that everybody is really under a heavy burden for, man, it seems like it takes the roof off of the place. I mean, God really allows you to rejoice extra in some of that. And it just goes right along with what you were saying. So, yeah. Rowena asking for Junior for all those years. And Junior, I don't know how many years it was, but, you know, finally got saved. And, you know, what a blessing. So let's jump on over here to verse 9. I want to try to get through most of this. We got a little bit of time left here. So now he starts and he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, so we have to recognize God is God. All right? He's our Father. He's not just one of the gods. He's our Father, which art in heaven. He lives in heaven. All right? So our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy. We recognize that you're holy. You're our Father. You're in heaven. We know that you're holy. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever tried to pray? And I know I've heard Carl tell this story about trying to pray for somebody in his family. But have you ever got the news, something really bad's happened, somebody's had a heart attack, somebody's at the hospital, on the way, in a car wreck, and you try to pray, and nothing. You ever been there? I have. It has to be God's will. All of you know we've been requesting prayer for my good friend Dave Rosnowski. He's had cancer for 8 or 9 months, and he passed away a little over a week ago. And Becky and I actually came home last weekend to go to his funeral, and then went back on our vacation. But one of the ministers that was talking about Dave said just a few days before he died that he had met with another group of ministers and folks from their church, and they had gone in and prayed with Dave. And he said they prayed and asked God to heal him, and he said, I wasn't there, but I'm just taking his word for it. He said, I felt God move. He said, when I left there, I thought, man, maybe God is really going to heal him. He said, I just felt so positive. He said, a few days later, I heard that he died. And he said, it was just kind of, he said he got a little bit mad, and I've been there thinking, what in the world's going on? And I've said this before, and this is just me, but I think it's okay to be mad at God for about 15 seconds. You can't stay there. You can't get stuck there. I mean, I'm just telling you where I'm at. I get mad at God sometimes, but then I've got to go, hold on here a minute. You know, I can't stay there for very long, so don't get stuck there. But, I mean, it's a human emotion. And that's, that minister expressed that he had that and just some bewilderment. But then he said, he talked to God, and God said, you know, what a great time that they had there. And that minister didn't say it in these words. I'm using my words. But it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's time for Dave to stay here. God had something else in mind. So, you know, people that are saved, meaning well, praying, even getting connected and praying, you know, for God to help, and doesn't always mean that that's God's will. I mean, if you read throughout even the New Testament, there are multiple places where it talks about praying and believing it. There's one, I think it's in Mark, where it says, if you pray it and you believe that you have it, you already have it. Well, the real way that you have to unravel that scripture is if you really pray. If God will connect with you and tell you that you've got something, then I think you can do that. And I've had that happen a few times, but that's not all the time. A lot of times I pray and I feel like God hears my prayer, but I don't know what he's going to do. So it has to be according to his will. And that's the thing we have to, you know, Blaine's will and God's will are oftentimes not the same thing. You know, what Blaine would do would mess a bunch of stuff up because I only see a little bit of it. And I don't mean to offend you, but you may see more than I do, but you're all the same way. We look at it through a dark glass, is what the Bible tells us. We just don't know. So. <laughs> 15 seconds. It could be.
Verse 11,
give us this day our daily bread. Certainly that's spiritually, but it's also naturally. I'm going to go beyond saying it's okay. I actually recommend it and think you should pray and ask God to help you with natural things on a regular basis. God cares about the natural things. You're his child. He wants, you know, it's not his grand design and it's not our purpose for being here for us to be happy. But he wants us to be happy if we can be, if that's, but there's going to be things where sometimes we're not, because he's got something else planned over here where that there's a purpose for it, to try to reach somebody, try to get somebody's attention, try to minister to somebody through our sickness or through the death of a friend or a loved one. So don't, you know, and the world will tell you, well, everybody should be happy. Well, I want everybody to be happy, but, you know, life and the Bible will demonstrate that that's not always the case. But we can have peace even if we're not necessarily happy. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. Remember, I started in James, and maybe we'll finish here, depending if we've got another minute or two. But verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's in the Lord's Prayer. I'd never really connected it with James until I started studying for this lesson. But back over in James, if you remember, it said that we should forgive others, and then the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous availeth much. There's something we need to do for our prayers to have the maximum amount of impact on God. Now, that still doesn't mean that we can get right and we can be so good that God will give us everything that we want. But if you want your prayers to have the most impact on God, you have to come to God in the right way. So if you don't get anything else out of this today, I hope you got that. We're about out of time. I'm sorry I didn't get through all of this. I thought I would. Some good stuff. Let me see. The one last thing I wanted to talk about was, where it says, lead us not into temptation. God will not tempt you to sin. James 1:13-16 talks about God will not tempt you to sin. Okay? So
And that's a misconception or just a wrong doctrine. If you've got questions about that or you're a little bit confused, go read James 1, 13 through 16, and I think that'll help clear that up. But thank you for your attention. I appreciate all the comments.